Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Psalm 119 in our teaching this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that's happy. I think all of us do, don't we? And it's interesting, a little over 30 years ago, I was asked to be the youth pastor of a church here locally up in Santa Ana. And I had the privilege of serving and ministering to many young people in the very formulative times of their lives. And God did a great work in an amazing ministry there of bringing youth into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Dozens and dozens of them. And I got to watch them come to faith in Christ and grow in Christ. And what's neat is, through Facebook, I'm able to connect with some of those same people and kind of check it out and see how they're doing and what's going on in their lives. And it's been such a blessing to see so many that have gone on. And they're raising families and children to love Jesus, and they're living lives that are pleasing to the Lord, and some of them are in full-time ministry, and they're serving in their churches, and they're serving in other type of Christian organizations, and it's just so neat. But not all of them. It's so heartbreaking to see some that loved the Lord and truly seem to want to live for God, and yet they've gone by the wayside. They've gone the way of the world. You see their posts and all they're involved in, and all that's important to them is drinking, partying, and everything that the world has to offer. And it breaks my heart. And so it really comes down to that for every individual Christian. We begin a life by faith in Christ, and we make a prayer of commitment to the Lord. But how are we going to ensure that we finish in that faith? How are we going to make sure that we finish strong in love and fervency, dedication to the Lord Jesus? How do I make sure I'm going to grow in faith? And as we begin a new study in the book of Psalms, and we're going to focus on Psalm 119 for the next few weeks, this psalm gives us the key to making sure we stay focused and stay plugged in and fully devoted to the Lord. Psalm 119, as Duke found out the hard way, is the longest, not only psalm, but the longest chapter in the whole Bible. All but about six of the 176 verses that comprise this psalm talk about the Word of God and use synonyms for the Word of God. It's literally a psalm that's about the book, the Holy Bible. And this psalm is arranged in a very unique way. It's arranged and broken down into what I want to call stanzas and groupings, as you see them in your Bible. And each grouping of verses are comprised of under the heading of one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So we have 22 sections or groupings of verses in Psalm 119. So each section, not only is it grouped by that, but it begins with that letter if we were to read it in its original languages. Obviously, in the English, it doesn't, but it's a very poetic psalm and very unique in the way it's comprised. I've entitled this series, Wonder and Worship in the Word of God. And that's my prayer for each one of us, that we would come to a new wonder and a new place in worship of God as we study His Word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that You would speak to us and communicate to us from Your Holy Word this morning. That You would speak to us a word about your word. Lord, convict our hearts, purify our hearts, and set them on fire for you. And we thank you for the gift of the Bible that we hold in our hands and we hold dear to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are those. The word blessed, it's kind of a nice Bible word. We like to use it a lot as Christians. It literally means just happy. So if you want to be happy in life, live your life in accordance with God's word. And the key point here is simply this. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be happy. That's why blessed is all over the Bible. The Beatitudes, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. God wants to bless us and he wants us to be happy. And so the way to be happy, he's given to us as a key and he's written it in his word. In fact, if you think about it, much of our unhappiness in life is due to the fact that we disobeyed principles that he's already given to us in his word. Our unhappiness comes from disobedience to his holy word, to his law. Sin brings momentary satisfaction, but God knows it's going to destroy our lives and it's going to defile our hearts. And so that's why the psalmist says, with the whole heart. They seek you with their whole heart. One that's not divided. One that's 100% committed to God. I love what Katie Packard put in a Facebook post yesterday. She said, once you find something to die for, you'll have something to live for. And isn't that a heart that's wholly devoted to God? When we find something that's great enough that we're willing to die for, we will finally have something in our lives that's willing to live for. And Jesus Christ is that something. And God reveals his son and himself to us in his word. And it seems that in our hearts, whatever is in there literally is going to affect what comes out of our mouth, Jesus said, and what's going to come out and be played out in our actions. And so when we seek God with our whole heart, then we become literally a testimony of his grace and of his love. As Mike shared with us, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 at men's breakfast, he said, I want to read verse 10 because I like it. I get that. I love it. For we are his workmanship. You and I, we are God's workmanship. We're his trophy of grace. We're his poema, if you want. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that God is already prepared for us to walk in them. So he's the only one that can really fill and satisfy our hearts, isn't he? He's the only one. He's the one we are longing for within our souls. And they do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. But yet sometimes when we look into the Bible and we read the Bible, we feel guilty. Why? Because we fall so short of his commandments. And it's the prayer of the psalmist as well. He's looking into the law of God and he says, Lord, I have fallen so short. So his heart prayer to God is, God, help me to walk in a way that would be pleasing and honoring to you. So why does God, he asked God rather, to direct his steps and to keep his statutes? Why? Because the word says that God's word is like a mirror. The Bible is a mirror. That's why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible, because it shows us our imperfections. There's a lot of days we don't want to look in the mirror either, but we do. Why? Because we want to look better. We want to improve our appearance. If we want to improve our lives and make our lives more reflective of Christ's character, we have to look into the mirror of God's Word. And so then we come to God and we bring our hearts to Him and we say, Lord, cleanse me, make me pure, make me clean again. And so now with the newfound cleansing, the psalm continues and declares out of his heart, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So what do you think he's praising the Lord for? How do you think he's praising the Lord? He's praising the Lord by praying God's word. Yeah. Often the best way to praise God is by literally speaking forth the Psalms and the praises of God. The Psalms is a hymn book. It's a prayer book. It's perfect for prayer. When you don't know how to pray or you don't know what to say, it's there in the Psalms. It's been given to us to pray, to praise. So how can a young man cleanse his way, he asks? By heeding according to your word. He literally answers his own question. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. How did I get rid of single struggles in my life? How do I do that, the psalmist says? How do I deal with the lust in my flesh? How do I deal with those things that I struggle with, those things that defile me? Well, the book of Ephesians tells us that the word of God is like water that cleanses us. The blood of Christ cleanses and forgives us of our sins. But those daily things that continually kind of get all dusty and dirty all over our bodies, those daily impurities, how do we clean those things out? Not that we're not forgiven, we are, but we want to be washed so we don't feel dirty. How do we do that? By keeping our minds and our souls stayed on the Word of God. That's why the book of Colossians says in chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to one another in wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms. Isn't that interesting? In Psalms, yeah, just literally praying through and speaking these Psalms that God's given to us. And so the key point here is when our hearts and our minds are filled with God's Word, our lives will reflect it. Our lives will reflect it. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so this verse here teaches us the value of what? Memorizing the Word of God. Last week, I encouraged you. I even gave you an index card in your bulletin. I encouraged you, take the challenge this year, write out a verse from Psalm 119 each week and commit it to memory. Commit it to memory. Some of you might say, well, that's impossible. I'm too old. I've lost my memory. No, you haven't. Try it. Commit it to memory. I hope you've done that this last week. This next week, look at some of the verses that we've either taught this week or we're going to be looking at and teaching in next week and say, Lord, what is it in these verses that pricks my heart and is so important that I feel like I want to commit that to my life and to my heart and memory? It helps us when we're tempted for sin. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. Why? Because Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whether those things are good report, whatever is a virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, think on those things. Because if we're hiding God's word in our heart, we're going to be thinking on those things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue. But knowing God's word here isn't enough. It's not enough to know it here. We have to know it here. This is where we hide it. We hide his word in our heart because God's word has to be personal. It has to become part of our person. It has to be personal. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Verse 12. Underline the word me. teach me. It has to be personal. It's not, God, thank you for your statutes. They're great. Yeah, but teach them to me. Make them a part of my life. Help me to understand them as they relate to me and in my life. Because God's word is quick, it's powerful, it's alive, and it's personal. And it reflects the heart of God for the individual. Last New Year's Day, Lori and I decided to go out to eat, and we went out and I brought my Bible with me and I set it at the table. I wanted to do some reading together, and we were reading around in the scriptures, and I decided I'd sit instead of across from her talking. We sat just kind of together side by side, you know, and had the Bible there, and we were just reading it together, and the waiter was coming, and we said, you know, we're not really in a hurry, but, you know, we'll get to our order in a little bit, and we're kind of going through the scriptures, and then he came for their order, and he said, what are you reading? And I said, well, I'm reading my Bible, and he said, oh, that's cool. And I said, do you read the Bible? And he says, no, I never have. I said, really? I said, this book has changed my entire life. Changed my entire life. I said, you've never read it. I said, would you like to? He says, you know, probably should, shouldn't I? I said, it'll change your life. I said, you know, I just so happened to have a Gospel of John out in my car, which I honestly just so happened to have. I actually had just put it in my car hours before that. I don't normally carry them in my car. I do now, though. I'm serious. And I got some in the back if you'd like to carry them in your car. But I thought, wow, I'm sure glad I had that. What a God thing, you know. It was one of those God encounters. And I went out to the car, got a Gospel of John, and put, I usually carry tracks, so I put the track in, a Gospel track in there. And then I also gave him a card for Revival because he's about 25 years old. And I said, here you go, along with his tip. And I said, happy reading, and I hope you enjoy this, and I'll be praying for you. And it was really neat to have him actually want to receive that. He'd never been to church in his whole life. Wow. Awesome. 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 Well, why am I sharing this? Because God's word has to be personal. And I'm convinced that if he will just simply read that Gospel of John, God will personally speak to him. Do you know why I'm convinced of that? Because he did to me. And he did that with each one of us. You're not here today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not here today unless God personally has spoken to you. He illuminates our hearts. He's the one that opens our minds and our hearts to him and his love and our need for him, that we are sinners and apart from him, we can do nothing. We are destined for hell apart from him. And so God's the one that opens our hearts to that wonderful truth of his love and his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So the key point here is, do I read the Bible for information or for instruction? Do I read the Bible for information or for instruction? Because we're either going to be a living epistle or a dead epistle. A living epistle is one who reads the Word of God for instruction and lives it out. A dead epistle is one who reads the Word of God for information and doesn't live it out. He's just lying there like a corpse. And so as we study God's Word, we need to ask ourselves some things. First, what is the Lord wanting to teach me? When we go into the Word of God for our study time and our devotions, we open it up and we say, Lord, what do you want to teach me in your Word today? Secondly, is there a warning for me to avoid sin? Does he have warnings for us to avoid sin? What should I, like, watch out for? And what should I be aware of that you want to bring into my life? Three, are there blessings which God is promising to me? What does God promise? What's God want to bring into my life? What is God's will for my life? Well, he tells us in his word. Four, is there a promise which I need to hold on to? This is huge. If you're going through a difficult time, I tell people, you've got to get an anchor scripture. You have to have an anchor scripture. If you're going through a difficult time in your life now and you don't have an anchor scripture, you're like a ship that's just adrift out there in the sea. You have to have that scripture that God speaks into your heart and He reveals to you and directs you to, that it becomes an anchor scripture for your life. Number five, what truths have I been shown to take into my day? What is God showing me from His Word that He wants me now to take and apply in my life and go forth in my day? And so then next, after we do all these five things, after we apply the Word of God to our own lives, now we need to look for someone that God wants us to share that Word with, who He might want us to pass on to. You might be handing out your memory verse cards to other people. Just, you know what? You need this today. Here. And let them get the Word of God in their own heart. Amen? Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of my mouth. Declared means to make known. It means that we speak the Word of God to others. Not just our own thoughts and our own stupid wisdom that we think we're so smart about, but literally we start to speak God's Word to others. Why? Because we know His will. So often, that's the will of God. He's showing us something in His Word in order that we might share it with others as well. And that happened to me just last Friday. The Lord showed me something in His Word, directed me to something, and literally it was a perfect passage to share with another person that I had come in contact with and blessing their life as I was blessed. So I'm blessed and nurtured. Now I can pass that on to others. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Did you notice two words in these three verses? Rejoiced and delight. Rejoice and delight. I love that. Suzette taught us in Thursday morning prayer meeting, last Thursday morning in our prayer meeting here that we have at 6 o'clock in the morning, and she gives a little devotional talk, and she taught us about rejoicing last week. And she said, in the Bible, the word rejoice is mentioned 199 times. 199 times. Do you think God wants us to, like, rejoice? God wants us to find our delight in His Word. He wants us literally to be like kids on Christmas morning when we open the Word of God, that we are delighting in it. When's the last time you delighted in God's Word? When's the last time you've gone to the Bible and said, I can't wait to see what He has for me today? Or do we go to the Bible and go, okay, Lord, I've got to read my devotion plan here. Let's see, I've got these pages I got to get through. No, He doesn't even want us to do that. He wants us to delight, to find our delight, our rejoicing in God's Word. Do you wake up on Sunday morning, or do you end the day on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night before studies and go, oh, I got to go? Or is it, I can't wait to go. I delight to go because I know God's going to meet me there. God's going to bless me in that place as we gather together around His Word. And look what He says. He compares this to all riches. As much as in all riches I delight in your word. Now think about that. Think about what you do for your employer. You lose sleep for your employer. You work overtime for your employer. Think about what people will do for money. Just about anything. They'll ruin their health. They'll ruin relationships. I mean, how many people are in these multi-marketed businesses and they're marketing everybody with their business, okay? There's a problem here. Why? I want to know how many of those same people are marketing Jesus Christ. Yeah, I go to McDonald's. I love McDonald's. Those of you who know me well know that. I have one McDonald's I go to, and there's a guy named Bill, and he's always there. Now, I've already witnessed to Bill because he came and witnessed to me. He wanted me to sell his product. I said, I got a better product for you. I talked to him about Jesus. He says, I'm already a Christian. I go to this big church in the area. And he says, I go to church. Great. But he never wants to talk about Christ. All he wants to talk about is that product. I'm not kidding you. I've seen him like five times over the last year or so. Every time I see him, he always is wanting to bug me to try to sell his product. By the way, great products. Most of these products are great products. Don't have anything against the product. What I have is against marketing people. If we're going to be excited about something and willing, he's willing to go up to perfect strangers and ask them to sell his product. How many of us are willing to go up to perfect strangers and say, did you know that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he has prepared a place in heaven for you so that you don't have to go to hell for eternity for rejecting his love, his death on the cross? How many of us are willing to do that? But we're willing to make cold calls for money for our employers. That's what I'm getting at. He delights in God's word and is willing to go forth and preach it and speak it forth more than in riches, more than in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. We are to meditate on God's word, to think deeply, not just skim over it, but actually ponder it, think it. That's another reason that it's good to just write a word down and just stick it on a sticky note on your mirror or whatever, just to meditate on it. What is God saying to me? What is he speaking to me? Because as we meditate on it, it literally becomes part of it, us. It permeates into our being. And so often, you know, we wonder, what is God doing in my life? What is he up to? What is he planning here? God, what are you doing? As we meditate on his word and really ponder it, we start to be able to settle our hearts to be able to wait on the Lord, to wait on him, wait on his time, wait on his plans, waiting on his purposes for us as we ponder his word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I love that. Deal bountifully with your servant. And then in verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Do we realize how much we really need him? Do we realize how much we need his word hidden in our lives and in our hearts? It's amazing to me how many of us as Christians live double lives. We got the spiritual side of us and the secular side of us. How much do we really need him? Or do we function very well in the secular side without him? And then we come into the church setting and we do our spiritual thing. Do we really act like we're strangers on the earth, like he says? You know, when we go to a foreign country, if you go visit somewhere and you're unfamiliar with it, you're really apt to want to get instruction, advice from people, directions. If we recognize that we are foreign and strange to this world, that this world is not our home, we're going to say, Lord, this world's not our home. We need all the advice we can get. Lord, you need to teach me. You need to tell me what to do, because I don't understand this place. This is not my home. Not my home. I'm only passing through. I need you every moment. I need you every day. I need to heed your word. I need to follow your advice. Give me a guide. Give me a map. Give me direction in life. That's what God's word is for us. In verse 18, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Now, I want you to notice, he doesn't say, open my eyes that I can find new revelations from God. He says, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things, gain new insights from your word. And notice this, that this psalmist didn't even have half of what you and I have of a Bible. It wasn't written yet. So he had less than half of what we have, and he says, Lord, open my eyes that I can just gain wondrous insights into your word. But he doesn't go out searching for new and hidden truths. That's what the Gnostics were peddling back in the days of the early church. These secret truths that no one else had ever heard of and no one else ever knew about. But if you were part of their little group, guess what? We'll tell you our secrets. We'll make you one of us. And there are people out there today, no different. It's even more prevalent today looking for all these new things. We need to be on guard on the books we read, even from Christian bookstores, on the programs we watch on TV, under the Bible teachers we sit under. These new truths and new secrets that God has spoken to them and nobody else really knows about or has ever heard about. Whew. Key point here is there are no new revelations from God's Word, only new insights. And if you think about it, almost every cult in America has begun by a new revelation that someone got that no one had ever heard before, so they all are wrong and we only are right. Every cult has that distinction about them. That's scary. That's scary. And that's not biblical. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Does this express the desire of our heart, the passion of our life, that our soul breaks with longing for his judgments? Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. So now the psalmist declares, I've made up my mind. I am going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to live for God. And what's happening? The same thing that happens to you and me. When we make a decision to hold strong and to live solidly and committed to God, we're going to have the same reaction and the same consequence that the psalmist has here. What happens to him? He is suffering the consequences for following the Lord. The key point, once we determine to walk in obedience to God's word, we will encounter difficulties. Don't think it strange, my brethren, these fiery trials concerning you. They're not strange. They're all part of it. He's slandered about. He's being lied about. He's sad. He feels isolated and alone. Did you know how many people, they choose to follow God and they wonder why all of a sudden these things happen as they step out and say, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to really live for God. Count on it. You're going to get slandered. You're going to be lied about. You're going to feel all alone. You're going to be hated by the world. It's lonely to be fully committed to the Lord. In fact, the more fully committed to the Lord, the more lonely we're going to be living in this world. And if that describes you today, I want to just encourage you with a couple of verses. It says in Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And in Psalm 16:11, it says, you will show me the path of life because in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We've got to make a determination whose presence we want to have enjoyment in. The world or in God's presence? Usually we can't have it in both. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Oh, how interesting. I love this verse. It's amazing to me. Think about people. Maybe you're sitting here today. Hundreds and thousands of dollars we spend on counselors and counselings. He says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. The greatest counsel that we can gain is just simply in the Word of God. This has all the counsel we really need. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to have counselors and I'm not down on counselors. I'm a counselor for Pete's sake. But I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we have the guidebook right here. The guidebook's right here. God's Word wants to be our counselor. We'll spend money and time going to counseling. How much time will we spend literally hearing counsel, pure and holy and undefiled from His Word? His Holy Spirit speaking to us from the Word of God. And the Bible has a lot to say about the stuff that we go to counselors about. Relationships? Hello, it's all over the Scriptures. Physical intimacy. You want to know about your sex life? That's in the Bible too. Friendships, that's in the Bible. Matthew 7, as a matter of fact. Stealing, talks about stealing. Gossip, listening to instruction. You got an anger problem? There's advice all over in here. It's all over here. Emotional problems. What about depression? Is that in the Bible? What about finances? You know, it's interesting because at McDonald's, they have those TVs now. Susie Orman's on TV all the time, coming up, giving her little financial advice. I love Susie Orman, by the way, because she gives really good financial advice. But none of it's new. I'm listening to her financial advice and going, yeah, that's in the Bible, that's in the Bible, that's in the Bible. Yeah, what is she talking about? Well, the borrower, don't borrow money. Why? Because the borrower is servant to the lender. That's what the scripture says. And she tells you, that's true. Laziness. If you're lazy, it's going to lead to poverty. That's in the Bible. That's true. Don't co-sign for loans with others. That's in the Bible. You're not supposed to do that. That's true. The importance of saving money. That's in the Bible. That's what she's saying too. The blessings of tithing, giving one-tenth to the Lord. It's all right there in the Word of God. But we're going to go buy Susie's books and listen to Susie's programs. Now, I'm not down on Susie. I love Susie. She gives great advice. But you know what? She's not giving you anything new. It's all here. And guess what? Even more. Right here. Right here. We got it right here. God's given us so many wonderful things. I want to close with a story about Tifton, Georgia. Now, Tifton, Georgia is famous for some things. One thing Tifton, Georgia is famous for, it is the reading capital of the world. Now, how do you get that distinction? Because its citizens beat out all the other citizens of all the other cities in a contest they had for which citizens in those cities read the most books. Well, it's pretty impressive. But it's also another thing that makes Tifton, Georgia famous, because it is the halfway point between Atlanta, Georgia, and Walt Disney World. So if you're going to travel that 430-mile trip, you're probably, especially with kids, you're probably going to want to stop somewhere halfway. Where are you going to stop? Tifton, Georgia. It's right there in the middle. But of recent, Tifton, Georgia has become famous for something else. It's become famous for an abandoned Victorian house, that is there in the historic district of Tifton, Georgia. And this house has been nicknamed by teenagers the Bat House. Why? Because it's wholly uninhabited, because it has got up to, they're estimating, 20,000 bats that have taken up residence in this house. 20,000. They're not sure who can count that many. Bats. Do you know what bats bring? A whole lot of fertilizer. They call bat guano. And urine. And decay and disease. And on a hot Georgian summer, that house stinks to high heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go see the bat house. Not during the summer. I don't want to get anywhere near it. How do all those bats get in there? Well, that house had been left vacant. Vacant for quite a while. And that's the truth. A lot of vacant homes and vacant properties have a lot of creatures and things that crawl around and take residence there. The Bible says, I've hidden my word in your heart. Not your word, rather in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I've taken your word and I want to hide it there, and I want it to take residence and inhabit my heart, that I won't sin against you. Because when his word is in our heart fully and completely, guess what? There's no bats taking residence in my heart and in my life. But if I've got a vacant life, a vacant heart, a big void there, and I'm not filling it with his word, there's all sorts of disgusting creatures, evil things that want to take residence inside of my life. How about you? So let's determine to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Would you stand with me? Let's pray.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.